First verse, start right at the beginning. Philippians is known as one of the prison epistles. It's a letter that Paul wrote while he was in the Gray Bar Motel. So, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Those are the four that Paul wrote while he was in jail. Philippians, the basic theme of Philippians is joy. That's interesting. Joy and contentment. Joy and contentment. Philippians 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints of Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all making requests with joy. Now, pick up the word you all. That's Southern. Amen. And Paul was a Southerner. He was a Benjamite, and it is a southern tribe. And this is where this comes from. They don't say you all. Somehow they make it a one word y'all or something like that. It's like the Wilson family, when you ask them to put oil in the car, it's all. You got to put oil in there. So you try to learn this terminology when you go to several different places. It's foreign language. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, y'all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until nigh being, till now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of y'all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, we are all partakers of my grace. When he says bonds, he's in jail. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, and that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Okay, let's go and pray. Lord, thank you for a blessed book you've given us. And Lord, I do pray you'd help us to see the joy and the happiness that we can get out of this book, out of the Christian life. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Philippians, right after Ephesians. Ephesians is kind of a heavy doctrinal book. It's a doctrinal book about salvation and service. Philippians is a practical book about the same two things, salvation and service. Philippians, the theme of Philippians is joy. It's happiness. It's peace. Or peace in your heart, you get in chapter 4, verse 6. This time of year, the Christmas season, is a time of extreme emotions. The majority, I would suppose, are, you know, all happy and, you know, wishing the Christmas spirit. You know, oh, have a Merry Christmas. And bah humbug. That's the usual thing. The reason why it's a season of getting. I didn't say giving. It's a season of getting. That's the gist of it. And so everybody's looking to get something out of this thing. But it, on the other hand, it is also a very, very extreme sad time for some. This is a time of year where suicides occur often more than anything, this time of year, the Christmas holidays. It's interesting that the suicides are at an alarming rate with the soldiers in Iraq. And they're trying to keep this quiet, but the suicide rate is way out of the sight. Okay, but even at that, people are very sad at this time. The reason why is because if they lost a family member within the last year, that's what they think about. So-and-so's gone. And some folks have seen the emptiness of the Christmas spirit, and then that brings sadness. So you have extremes at this time of year. Now, it's a time of year where you have a good advantage to mention the gospel, so you don't want to miss out on that opportunity. People are more conscious of Christ, so it's a good time to witness for Christ, too. And this time of year where a lot of people are, you know, ringing the bell and all that stuff, you know, trying to get change out of people, they're more likely to take something in their hand, so it's a good time to pass out tracts, you know. And, of course, we got gospel tracts with a Christmas present on it and all that stuff. But personally, I'm glad I'm not really into that stuff. When I happen to go shopping around this time of year, I just leave and I say, boy, I'm glad I'm not caught up into this mess. You know, no bale bush, no none of that stuff. Boy, I'm glad about that. And some people think you're crazy about that. No, it gives great satisfaction and peace. Relax. And joy. Because we could think of the Lord not just one day out of the year, but 365. And next year, 366. But Philippians is about joy. It's about joy. Now, what can a Christian be happy about? Philippians 1, verse 6. If you have nothing to be happy about, you can be happy about this. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you might perform it at the day of Jesus Christ. He will. He will. That's eternal security. Eternal security. You know, if somebody would get mad at you when you're witnessing to you, and if they would happen to say to you, why don't you just go to hell? You just smile and say, sorry, I can't do that. That's just too bad. Nothing I can do to go to hell. If you're saved, you're in the blood of Jesus Christ, you're born again, there is not a thing you can do to go to hell. Not a thing. This on this planet is all the hell you're going to see. Now, if that's, I don't care how bad your life is, that ought to be enough to be, make you happy. Amen. You see, eternal security, that great promise, being confident of this very thing, great verse to memorize, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is a reference to the judgment seat of Christ. You'll see it again in the verse 10. Till the day of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ. The day of the Lord is a reference to the second coming of Christ and the millennium. But the day of Christ, I only find it with Paul's writings, a reference to the judgment seat. Eternal security. Now, the crowd that has eternal insecurity, you know, they got to try to keep their people enslaved, or else you're going to lose your salvation. Now, those people have failed to study Romans 4 and 5. They have failed completely in that area, and they have failed in their study of the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the vast majority of people who claim to be Christians believe somebody can lose their salvation in the church age. Benny Hinn, all them kind of clowns on TV. Them, you know them guys on TV, they got to have stock in a hairspray company, the way they got their hair all dooted up and everything. And all the makeup they got to slap on their face in order to make sure they don't sweat to death when they're in front of the camera. Now people say, how can you say stuff like that? You want to see a video I've observed the last couple weeks? You want to see him in action? You want to see a man walking all fours going, bow, wow, 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 and they think he's filled with the Spirit of God in church? You want to see Benny Hinn putting a pipe in a guy's mouth and he's smoking something, and two of Benny Hinn's employees die of a heroin overdiction? We got it on video. You want to see Benny Hinn getting mad at people and say, I'd like to take a gospel machine gun and blow you away? If you ask him about doctrine. You want to see Ken Copeland say, when I read in the Bible, when Jesus Christ says, I am, I just say, I am too. What's he saying? He's saying he's God. Yeah? Paul Crouch said it. He said, I am a God. That's what these guys are. People think, you know, I'm kind of fussing about these guys. You got to see what these clowns are saying. And actually view this stuff. You see, they have to entrap people into a system because they have no security. Now, what these guys actually believe, they believe you can lose your salvation, but they can't. Now, I've said that for a long time, but I finally got one of them to admit that. He didn't admit it to me. He admitted it to one of my fellow students, somebody that was listening to me. And in fact, this eternally insecure fella had hammered on him for 2 hours about how eternal security is bad. And then after 2 hours, the young man just looked at him and said, "You mean to tell me this, this, this?" And then finally the guy says, "Well, I have to be honest with you. I believe that I personally have eternal security. But we can't really preach that. They got to keep them strapped in a system." Romans 4 and 5. Great doctrine of truth about imputed righteousness and justification. And when you read Romans 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the sinfulness of man. Romans 4 and 5, your solution to your sinfulness is the imputed righteousness and justification of God. Romans 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that justification, what's that? That means when your name is computerized in heaven and they type up your name comes on the screen, and then under your name it may have your sins listed. Now, when you trust Christ as your Savior, receive Him by faith, trust His shed blood for heaven, guess what? They highlight all those sins and push the delete button. And then they type in imputed righteousness or righteousness of Jesus Christ. Now, I know down here we're not sinless, but on our record in heaven, that's what it is. That's what Romans 4 and 5 says. Now, Romans 6 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" The Bible says, God forbid. God forbid. Imputed righteousness and personal holiness is what God wants us to do. In fact, after we get saved by grace through faith, now we are a product where God is going to work on us and chisel into our life so that we become like Jesus Christ. That's what he said, Philippians 1:6. You see, joy and peace is what everybody's looking for on this planet. There are two things that unsaved people watch you and I about more than anything, and they want to see if you have happiness and if you have peace in your heart. They all are chasing these two things. The fairy tales say he marries her and they live happily ever after. Why does a guy get drunk? He thinks he's having fun. In essence, what they're doing a lot of times is they're trying to find peace because of peer pressure. They can't stand up to the peer pressure. Boy, it takes a real man to pick up a can and take the thing and pop the lid. Oh, that is a manhood. And go like that. That's not peace. You see, we Christians, we have fun, but I can remember my fun. They don't remember theirs. See, they're looking for joy and peace. You have joy and peace, it's found in Jesus Christ. And it's a free gift, it's a byproduct of salvation in Jesus Christ, eternal security. Everything, when you get saved, everything that happens in your life is planned, or it is God directly involved trying to get you like Jesus Christ. Everything. It's like you and God are playing chess. God makes a move, you make a move. God makes a move, you make a move. Now, you end going to end up in checkmate no matter what. But God lets you make your move, then He makes a move. Then you make your move, then He makes a move. Now, the judgment seat of Christ says, thank God we're all going to be like Jesus Christ someday. All of us are going to be like Jesus Christ someday. If you trust in Christ, you're a Savior. If you're not, this is all the heaven you're going to see. Eternal security. What a great joy a person has with eternal security. Now, a person that's saved, they say, "Well, I'm tired of the fight. I'm not. I'm just. I'm just going to do my thing. Okay, well, if you're going to serve God, the devil's going to fight you. If you're going to serve the devil, God's going to fight you. You say, well, I don't want to fight, so I'm going to serve myself. Both of them fight you. You ain't getting out of fight. Just not doing it. Eternal security. God's will for every person on planet Earth, 1 Timothy 2:4, is that he wills that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He not only wants us all saved, he wants everybody sanctified. That's his will. Now, the unfortunate thing is man can thwart God's will. Eternal security. Boy, what a blessing to have eternal security. Secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. The second area, Philippians 1 verse 10. It says that ye may approve things that are excellent. Excellent. The first five letters, excel. You can excel. The Lord wants us to excel in our spirit. Excellent spirit. That ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense, till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, an excellent spirit, notice their sincerity. A lot of people will tell you, and they actually think that when two JWs come to your door, they think, well, those people are sincere. How do you know they're sincere? Sincerity is an internal quality. It's like humility. How do you demonstrate sincerity? The Chinese characters takes the word sincerity. The Chinese character, the Chinese language, is a series of pictures. And their word sincerity is two separate words put together make sincerity. The two separate words are, one word is the word for the picture for man or an individual. And the other picture is the picture for words. When they put the man and the individual pictures together, that becomes the word sincerity. Now, how do you demonstrate a man's sincerity? It's a man who gets in the words. You can disprove a JW's sincerity very easily, and I've done it many times, just by asking them certain questions and watching them get mad, and they're going to do their thing no matter what you say. That's not sincerity. Mike Roberts said when he was at somebody's house, Mike Roberts, a missionary we support to Vietnam, and he was in a house with a person, and JW came and knocked on the door, and Mike said, I can get him to cuss in 5 minutes or less. The guy said, no. He said, yeah, I can get him to cuss in 5 minutes or less. So they came in a house. You had the usual, typical, you know, greetings at the beginning, 1 minute, 2 minutes, and Mike finally just looked at him, put his finger right in his face, and said, you are a liar. You are a deceiver. You changed the Bible. And he just pointed his finger and said, you're going house to house trying to deceive people, and that's all you are, and you are of your father the devil. And they looked at him and said, you blankety blank. Mike just smiled and said, see? He proved their insincerity. Two Mormon boys come to your door, look nice, clean-cut fellas. Set them down, talk to them about 10, 15 minutes. You can prove their insincerity that fast. They're only doing their 2 years service. That's all they're doing. That's all they care about. They only have to do that for 2 years, and they move them from place to place. It's a nice way to see the country. I had two of them, and I said, you guys claim to be Ephraim, don't you? And they said, yeah. And I laughed at them. I said, don't tell me you're a Jew. Blonde hair, blue eye. You're a Jew? Ha, ha, ha. Ephraim is dead and gone, according to Isaiah and Jeremiah and Hosea. And then I like to show them Hosea 7:8, where it says Ephraim is a cake not turned. And I ask them what that means, and they say, I don't know what that means. I tell them, it means you're half-baked. If you're a cake not turned, you're half-baked, pal. And the last two that left my house, I told them, before you leave, I would like to make sure you let you know, ye are of your father the devil, and you'll obey his lust. See ya, pal. I don't want them to be encouraged when they leave my house. I want to prove their insincerity. You say, that's offensive. Like I care. Sincere and offense, this says sincerity and offense, without offense. That without offense is to God. I don't want to offend my God. If you live your life trying not to offend God, you will offend man. You're going to do it. The Bible is an offensive book. I don't know, but I think Canada recently has passed a law stating that the Bible is a hate literature. It's an offensive book. And they will try to get that law in America. So what are you going to do about it? Nothing. I'm still going to preach it. Eternal security, an excellent spirit. Now, what's an excellent spirit? Daniel 5, verse 12. Daniel 5, verse 12 shows us what an excellent spirit is. Daniel 5, there are two men in the Bible that after they interpreted a dream, they were clothed in scarlet and they had a gold chain put around their neck. One of these men was Joseph, and Joseph was made the second ruler in the kingdom after his interpretation. Daniel is the other one, and Daniel was made the third ruler in the kingdom after he made his interpretation. Joseph becomes a type of Jesus Christ. When we say the Godhead, we say Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Daniel is a type of the Holy Ghost. Daniel 5:12, for as much as an excellent spirit, that excellent spirit is the Holy Ghost. And it says, an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in Daniel. In the same Daniel, whom the king named Belteshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Now that verse will show you what the Holy Ghost will do for you. It's got seven phrases that shows you what the Holy Ghost will do for you. Excellent spirit, knowledge, understanding, interpreting of dreams, showing hard sentences, dissolves doubts, removes your doubts, removes your fears, and gives you the interpretation. It's called an excellent spirit. You'll find it also in Isaiah 11, verse 2, called the seven spirits of God. Now this ought to make you happy. At the moment you got saved, the Holy Ghost came in your body permanently. And wherever you walk, you have the secret decoder. And he'll teach you the Bible anywhere you go. If you can read sixth grade English, all you have to do, if you got a Bible, get on your knees and ask God, please, I don't understand this. Would you help me? And there are your teachers right there in your body, ready to go. You don't need a Greek lexicon. You don't even need a leprechaun. You don't need a priest. You don't need a pope. You don't need me. You don't need a seminary. You don't need a Strong's Concordance. All you need is a humble mind and a believing heart. Anywhere you go. Now the problem is we could quench the spirit, 1 Thessalonians 5. That's our problem. We quench him. Everywhere you go, and when you have the Spirit of God in your body, that gives you joy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, it says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. That's an excellent spirit. That's not an unclean spirit. The unclean spirit is what you feel, and you can feel it when you get out by that adult bookstore. And you can feel it if you'd happen to see these charismatics in action. You could feel it. That spirit's coming out. But the excellent spirit, the Holy Ghost, he gives you joy. You may or may not feel him because he goes by faith, not feeling. Okay, the third thing, look in Philippians chapter 2. The third thing that can give us joy, the first is eternal security, the second is excellent spirit. The third one is Philippians 2. Paul wrote, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, what's that do? That puts us all on equal footing. In the Bible, in the New Testament, we are all equal servants of Jesus Christ. All ground is equal at the cross. In the Old Testament, they had a priest class where the people had to go to a priest in order to get some things to get a hold of God. In the New Testament, that's abolished. Every believer is a priest in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, the work of God is more important than the workers of God. The biggest trouble that churches have that cause fussing and fighting in the church is envy and jealousy.
Well, I can sing better than she can. Well, I can play better than he can. Well, I can preach better than he can. Well, I can do a better job than him.
So? Don't mean anything. The work is more important. Who cares about the credit? That's what we need to be concerned about. Instead of having a church sign where it says, a place where everybody's somebody, we ought to have a church sign, a place where everybody's nobody. Because when you're a nobody, Christ can do something with you. Because God can create something out of nothing. But if you're something, he's got to take off all the chaff and all the, got to purge it. I can do, without Christ, I can do nothing. John 15:5. But with Christ, you can do a lot. So a place where everybody's nobody. Now, this is probably best illustrated by Brother Mike Roberts. If you've not read his latest newsletter, we put these things on a thing. But I tell you, Brother Mike is probably one of the best thought-provoking missionaries I've seen. And he writes in here, I'm going to read a lot of it because it proves the point. He writes, from November 19th through November 21st, we were in Hanoi, the capital of Vietnam. I really had a good time there because while standing outside of Ho Chi Minh's mausoleum, memories of years gone by flashed into my mind. I remember sitting on the middle of nowhere, out in the middle of nowhere in Vietnam, 34 years ago, as I made a brag that our outfit, he's a Vietnam vet, was going all the way to Hanoi. Well, it took a while, but there we were, right in the middle of the most guarded place in Hanoi, Southeast Asian Orphan Foundation. And Mike writes, we were invited to attend the International Conference on Vietnam, INGO, Cooperation, which was held in Hanoi. For 2 days, we listened to UN representatives and to the Deputy Prime Minister speak about not-for-profit organizational works in Vietnam. When asked to give my opinion by some Vietnamese leaders, I told them, the foreigners here spend too much time in the office shuffling paper and not enough time out in the rice paddies and jungles with the common people. Good statement. There was a short silence, and then one of them quoted a famous Vietnamese proverb that says, sitting in luxury and eating a golden rice bowl, eating out of a golden rice bowl. He writes, it is a blessing to me now when we meet with all the provincial officials we work with, because now they tell me, you don't need to worry about all that paperwork anymore. We are already acquainted. In 2004 year contract, the 2004 year contract for the Orphan Foundation has been set in stone. We have been given full freedom to operate however we so desire. That's Vietnam. He says, before I came to Vietnam, much time was spent asking advice from people who had done mission works in the past. The one overwhelming piece of advice that I took to heart was, do not get caught in the trap of being a pastor of a foreign church. Why would he say that? Missionaries got egos. They want to be top dog. You do much better when you have a national reaching the people. Train the national. Teach him. He does the preaching. Let him do the work. You just stay in the background. Very wise thing, and that's what he's done. Every work that we start in Vietnam is with a national, especially the orphanage ministry. The Orphan Foundation is under the care of one such Vietnamese national. We have been working with and training a young man named Duc for the last several years. Brent and I was able to meet him. He was a taxi driver then, and he'd taxi Mike and him around. It says, he has now blossomed into a real helper. He has learned his place, and he knows how to do what he is told. Over the years, God has taught me that loyalty is the key ingredient in any working relationship or ministry. There are many troublemaking renegades who know the Bible inside and out, who have the ability to sink any work they come in contact with. People who work with me put their life on the line literally, and if all I do is think about my own promotion, then I will cause them some big problems. Sure, I have gone through people who stabbed me in the back or sold me out, but there are a few who covered my back even when it cost them something. The gist of what I am saying is we prize all the men of God, or the men God has given us to work with in Vietnam. Anyone who supports or is interested in supporting this work, or even anyone who just desires to see if God wants them to come to this field, is welcome to visit. The only thing I require is that your pastor or someone we know will recommend you as someone who wants to see what God has done, and not someone who would destroy years of work here for the sake of a sermon illustration. What's he talking about? We got some of these preachers here go over to Vietnam, pass out a bunch of tracts, and now the officials are mad, and they watch Mike now for 2 to 3 years and all his men. And the preachers come back here and say how they were persecuted in Vietnam. They're idiots. When Brent and I were there, we didn't pass out one gospel tract because I did not want to at all to affect any of his work, hinder it. Mike writes this. Now, this is a great statement, and this kind of proves the point. The Lord has done a marvelous work here in Vietnam, and it really amazes me how he has kept me out of the way long enough to accomplish something. What am I saying? I'm saying we're all equal servants. As far as our service for Jesus Christ goes, we are all on the same footing. I ain't up here and you ain't down here. We're all equal. Everything's equal at the cross. You know, that's what people always talk about, you know, integration, equal rights, equal rights. People who ever talk about equal rights and always demand it have an inferiority complex. Somebody who has a superior race, if they are a superior race, never talk about equal rights. Why would they want to lower themselves? Somebody who's always talking about equal rights, they're down in the bottom. And they're trying to lift themselves up by tearing somebody else down. Equality comes with Jesus Christ as far as our place. We're all servants of Jesus Christ. Philippians 2:16 shows something else that we can be very happy about. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Well, what does that imply? That implies you can hold in your hands a perfect, flawless, sinless Bible. Ain't that a blessing? You say, what's the big deal about that? They don't believe that at Moody Bible Institute. They don't believe that at Cedarville College in Ohio. They don't believe that in Cornerstone College in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They don't believe that at Wheaton College. They don't believe that at Bob Jones University. Bob Jones III don't believe it. They don't believe these things, a lot of these schools. I can hold something in my hand that's a word of life. Right there, holding forth the word of life. Now, what do? Romans 1:18, they hold the truth in unrighteousness. There's not one scholar in the New King James, not one scholar on the NIV, if you call them scholars, there's not one on the New American Standard, not one of them believes that God preserved his word without error for today. Not one. I've got the whole list for the New King Jimmy. And they admit it right in the thing that they only believe what is inspired were the originals. And none of them have a copy of it. I'm glad I got a book in my hand. I got this book right here, which is exactly what God wants me to know. I don't need to know Greek. I didn't need to know Hebrew. I don't need to go to a seminary or a cemetery. I can get right in this book and figure out what God wants to have for us. All I got to do is get on my knees and ask Him. Anywhere you go. I don't need to have to go to in a building, go back in a telephone booth and talk to the guy and then confess my sins to this guy. You know, oh, today we got a special. 3 Hail Marys instead of 10 normally. You ought to confess his sins. How many pedophiles are in there? You know, I thought of that. You know, out there at that bookstore, you could, you know, yell, pedophiles, perverts, prostitutes, pimps, priests. Seem to like this place. Throw that in there too. But we ought to be thankful because we got a Bible in our hands. Happiness is found in obedience to the Word of God. Jesus Christ told His disciples in John 13:17, He said, happy are ye if ye do them. Reference to the Word of God. One more thing, Philippians 4, verse 5, 6, and 7. Ought to be happy because we've got an everlasting scriptures in our hands. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What's that? That's praying. That's supplication. That's an earnest supplication. What ought to make you happy is that you can go right to the throne of heaven and ask Him what you need. You don't need to go to the prayer place and get a prayer book and say, oh, will I pray on this day for a good, if I'm losing hair, what saint do I pray for? They have prayer books like that. If you have fleas, you pray for St. Bernard. Pray for him, and then he helps you get rid of your fleas. You know, probably Rudolph, St. Rudolph, for the, you know, trying, you know, all this other stuff. They got him. Can you imagine if Peter was an Episcopalian when he was on the water getting ready to drown? He's an Episcopalian. He's trying to flip through his prayer book. What do I pray on drowning on this such and such day? He would have drowned. All he did was, Lord, help me! That's good prayer. Good prayer. Right to the throne of God. Don't need to dial long distance. You don't need to say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, oh God. You don't need to do long distance. You go right in the throne of God and say, Lord Jesus Christ, I need help! That's all you got to do. Forget, if all those guys, they got to go long distance, that's fine. They want to go long distance, you know, they're not related to the Father like I'm related to the Father. I just run right into the throne and get on His lap maybe and in faith and ask the Lord. And eternal or earnest supplication, thank God for that. If you're having a tough time with certain sins, tell the Lord about it. Be honest. Lord, I can't do it. Lord, you got to give me grace. You got to help me out. Lord, please draw me to you. Boy, what a blessing we got with that. Can you imagine a Muslim trying to get a hold of Allah? He's got to go to a certain mosque and he's got to... Muhammad was a pedophile. What do you call a 52-year-old man who marries a 9-year-old girl? That's what Muhammad did. And that is their hero? Man, can you imagine some of the Buddhist monks? They got to sit there with this incense and the one pagoda we went into. Bong. Bong. All day long. Covered up that one Buddhist monk, boy, he looked like he had AIDS. We got him on video. I mean, that guy, he had to have hundreds of tapeworms, and he's supposed to be happy? The guy looked miserable. You look in his eyes, sunk in, just, who would want something like that? Putting all this incense on there, sitting there praying, and the Vietnamese pastor, he knew some English words. He'd go, as he'd walk around, he'd say in English, stupid. Eat people, stupid. Might have taught him that one. And boy, that's right. We don't need none of that, any of that stuff. Can you imagine they try to take your Christianity from me? What are they going to take from me? My rosary beads? Don't got any. My candles? Don't got any. You know, you can't take my beliefs from me. Well, they can take your Bible. Yeah, I got a lot of that in my heart. Take your hymn books. Well, I got a lot of those songs memorized. Take Jesus. You can't take Jesus Christ out of me. You can't do it. I mean, we have something where everywhere you go, a relationship with God, you can pray to Him anytime, any moment. You got a Bible, you can hear from Him anytime, any moment. We're all at equal footing. You got eternal security. Man, you got the Spirit of God everywhere you go. Boy, that ought to make a person happy. Ought to give us joy. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you'd help us realize that your blessed book in the New Testament is a relationship.